Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour and happy Monday. So glad you're with us today. Today is an Acts 2:20 day. The sun will be turned to darkness. Although I understand 91% of Americans plan to skip looking up at the eclipse for the simple reason they find it inconceivable to go 2.5 minutes without looking down at their phone. That's going to be the start of the day. Anyway, we are looking at the eclipse today. Millions of Americans are getting ready for it. It's sky watchers in a dozen states will be treated to a total eclipse of the sun today. The spectacular event will begin at 10:15 a.m. local time, just south of Portland, Oregon. The eclipse will sweep eastward along the 70-mile-wide path across Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, and the northeast corner of Kansas. It will then darken skies over Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, and Nashville, Tennessee, before passing over Georgia and the Carolinas on its way toward the Atlantic Ocean. NASA plans to chase the solar eclipse with special jets. Now, this is kind of cool. They plan to send two specially equipped jets airborne to follow the path of today's solar eclipse. Scientists have retrofitted telescopes to the noses of two NASA research jets. The jets tracking the eclipse will fly one behind the other 70 miles apart. NASA says the jets will chase the moon's shadow on Earth as it passes along the diagonal eclipse track from Oregon to South Carolina. Flying at 50,000 feet, the jets will be high enough to give scientists quality cloud-free footage without actually going into space, and just low enough so pilots don't have to wear pressure suits. But I think they will have to wear those little special goggles, I think, to protect their eyes. But this is serious business today, so just be reminded, don't treat this casually. Like, oh, I think the eclipse is going on right now. I don't have those glasses, but I still have to look up and check it out. Actually, no, you don't. Protect your eyes. Don't end up with retinas that are scorched at the end of the day. It's not worth it. But we're going to talk to our friend Patrick Albanese in just a minute. And then we're going to speak to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News in the first hour. So we have a great morning plan. Get ready for a little Wizard of Oz music coming up in just a minute.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh. And when the sun is out, I got something I can laugh about. I feel good.
It is 8 minutes after the hour. Good morning. So glad you're with us today. I have my friend and colleague Patrick Albanese on from prestigious West Des Moines. Good morning, Patrick. Not yet. There we go. Patrick, are you there?
I am there.
Awesome. All right.
I honestly, it was not me who hung up on me.
Okay, good. Well, let's start with a couple of newsy items here. There's 10 U.S. soldiers are missing after a collision between the USS John S. McCain and a tanker early Monday east of Singapore. And in other news, one repeal and replace Obamacare bill also missing after a collision with the actual John S. McCain.
Is there anything he won't collide with?
Actually, it's a very sad deal. I hope they resolve that.
A couple of months ago we had the freighter. And I'm trying to, you know how you go to Wikipedia and you say, okay, tell me the difference between a freighter and a merchant ship, because this is very important information for me to waste some time. My eggs are burning up on the stove, but no, this is very important. What's a freighter? What's a merchant ship? But we had a freighter a couple of months ago off the coast of Japan have a collision with one of our Navy ships. And you start to think, okay, if you're like me, and I know I am, I'm a bit of an awfulizer, and you say two different events. Is somebody messing around with our radar systems? Is somebody saying, hey, let's just see if we can, start manipulating some information and get these? If you've seen the Die Hard movies, they made it look like that one plane was close to the ground, and it wasn't. So,
right.
something like that is going on here.
Yeah.
And if there's a Hans Gruber somewhere who just with that evil laugh.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if you you just got back from vacation, so you're in a good place right now, I believe.
Yes.
Because you got some rest, and that's all good. But it was good to get a break from all of the activity that went on last week with the riots and the protests and all this kerfuffle over the statues. And I thought Charles Barkley brought it home when he made that comment about, he said, the majority that of black people I know don't even know who this guy is. We go about our lives. We don't worry about stuff like this.
I would say just the majority of people, they say, yeah, Robert E. Lee, there's a song, and I think isn't there some ship that, you know, one of those paddle wheel boats that goes up and down the river? I'm not entirely certain. You know, it's amazing that you think that the schools spend more time trying to teach alternative lifestyle gender choices instead of history. And then you've got people ripping out subway tiles in New York because they say, I think that looks like a Confederate flag, and I think I'm supposed to be offended by that. It's like you get up in the morning, and we have this generations of people that haven't really even been educated on history saying, well, something over there offends me. Let's just grab the pitchforks. And in fact, I'm going to invest in pitchforks because it seems like rioting so much that the torch pitchfork business is going to be booming soon.
The handheld torch business and pitchfork business is going strong.
Yeah. Now, they're not environmentally friendly because I believe that the fuel that they use is sort of a kerosene type, and it burns.
That does not burn clean.
Doesn't burn clean.
I remember during the election, Patrick, when I think it was Jesse Waters was on the street holding up pictures of Joe Biden saying, who is this? Do you know who this is? And people would go, can't. Sorry. Don't know.
Yeah.
I go,
what's amazing?
That's the sitting vice president.
Yeah. And a lot of those people voted for him.
Unbeknownst to them, they voted for him.
Unbeknownst to them. In fact, if you look up, there's a campaign poster from 1992 with Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and their names are on a Confederate flag. That was the campaign poster. That's how far we've come that Clinton Gore actually had a campaign poster of their names, you know, emblazoned on a Confederate flag, basically saying, look at our great roots. I think the reason why the Democrats are so determined to eliminate all of these icons is they go, we've got to erase our history. This is our history that we're trying to erase here. And maybe the real reason why they're so upset and they're having to take down monuments is they go, oh, another Democrat. Better get rid of that one. Whoops. Jim Crow. Those Jim Crow laws, those were set by Democrats. Whoops. You know, I'm just wondering, are they going to go after the Robert Byrd stuff? Because there's about 56 buildings, roads, libraries, the occasional koi pond after Robert Byrd, who was a former Kliegel.
A recruiter.
We didn't even use the word Kliegel anymore, do we?
I've never used that word in my day-to-day discussions with anyone.
No, I think that when the Ku Klux Klan lost steam many, many years ago, they said, we've just got to drop the word Kliegel. We can't even use that anymore.
All right, Patrick, this story caught my attention because you are a Chicago boy, and so you might want to comment on this. In recent months, over 3,000 millionaires have left Chicago.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I mean, you helped me out with the coincidence of timing here. A couple of months ago, they passed a 32% income tax hike. And, you know, they kind of tried to tell people, don't you worry about it because it's just going to affect the rich people because they never pay their fair share. And then, coincidentally, in just that same couple of months since the tax got passed, 3,000 million. I didn't even know there were 3,000 millionaires in Chicago.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were any left. But I think they are saying that it's not just the millionaires leaving. It's about every 5 minutes more people, another family or another person leaves the state of Illinois. Every 5 minutes.
It's the largest outflow of people from any state in the country.
It's unreal. And I think when they checked it with a recent poll, and you know, not everybody's going to be honest in these, but almost half of the people polled said they want to leave the state. And in just the last 10 years, about 500,000 people have. Now, you know, who's leaving? people who are trying to hang on to some of their money. I've seen what the property taxes are there. They've got something like $250 billion in debt. Now, I grew up there, and some of that's mine, but not all of it.
Right. But the state just passed a 32% income tax hike.
Yes.
You know, and wealthy people are going to wake up one day and go, you know, I don't have to stay here. I can leave a bad situation. I can get up and go. And then they do. And
right.
That hurts businesses and real estate and property and everything else.
Yeah. And they can leave pretty quickly because they already have another home somewhere else.
That's true.
They can leave within a week. They say, well, we're done. We'll put the house on the market and it doesn't matter. And if we lose, we lose. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and I'm just guessing here, but I think pretty soon Illinois, in order to pay all this debt, they're going to have to play the lottery. Unfortunately, they're not paying out the bill on the lottery.
Yeah.
I think if you win more than, I think it's $50,000 or $60,000, you're going to have to wait. So congratulations, you're a millionaire. We just don't have the money to pay you. And you say, well, wait a minute. Where did it go? I thought that was for the kids. So, they're going to have to find another place. I remember when they doubled the tolls because that was always the answer. Well, where's the money? It's in your wallet. Let's go get it. And they often try to catch you where you can't do anything about it, like the tollways.
Yeah.
But the millionaires, they have a choice.
Yeah.
They always do.
All right, Patrick, I'll take a break. And when I come back, hopefully you'll still be here.
I'm doing my best.
All right. It's 17 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Talking to Patrick Albanese. Be back in a minute.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain,
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. That music belongs to my friend and colleague Patrick Albanese from prestigious West Des Moines. Patrick, here are a couple of lines. You tell me who said them. Let me get both of them out before you guess. I've had great success being a total idiot. I get paid for what most kids get punished for.
Okay. Well, up until the part about getting paid, that could have been me.
That's Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Of course, that's Jerry Lewis. Wow. We lost Jerry Lewis.
I mean, do you remember watching The Nutty Professor and just about wetting your pants? You probably
there
wet
was
your pants on the way to the movie theater.
I pretty much did. And there was a time when I said, I'm going to have to move to France because they still appreciate him. You remember we went through this period in America where they said, oh, that's just lowbrow humor. I said, no. It's funny. It's Jerry Lewis.
It's so funny.
Yeah. I knew a guy back in my California days that was one of the producers of the telethon, and it was, and I never got to, push him beyond the, can I just shake your hand because you shake Jerry Lewis's hand? That was the closest I could get. And Kevin Bacon was there, but there's an obscure reference for you.
Six
degrees
it.
Of separation.
Yeah.
But I was always like, you're like me. We have a very short list of people that we say, okay, if I were in the room with that guy, I would be speechless. Steve Martin would be on that list.
Yep.
Johnny Carson would be on that list. Jerry Lewis would be on that list. That's right there. You turn into the Nutty Professor.
You,
so
you do.
Sad.
You do. All right. California, leave it to them to do the cutting edge thing, but they've got a bill now for 1 year in jail for using the wrong transgender pronoun.
Now, it's only up to a year in jail.
That's true. It's up to a year.
Yeah. I remember when I got my first jaywalking ticket in California.
Did you really get one of those?
I did get one.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, and they have an incremental system. This was many years ago, 10 years ago or so when I got it. And it was $76, which is a pretty steep fine. And the guy said, that's because it's your first offense. And it goes up. They keep a record. So, California is, they keep talking about being progressive, and I'm thinking, I don't think that word means what you think it means. This is some harsh punishment. And, you know, rich people are the only ones that can afford to pay some of these fines. But the year in jail for the wrong gender pronoun, how am I even supposed to know what to use? This is some, I don't want to call it slippery slope stuff. We're down the slope now.
Yeah, but if you refuse to use the correct one because you either make a mistake or you can't, your brain doesn't want to go there because you look at, you know, Caitlyn Jenner and you go, well, isn't that kind of a man in a dress?
Kind of.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And he's still, he's still connected to my sports hero, Bruce Jenner. So sometimes it's hard for your brain to move around things like that.
It is, and it's, you know, suddenly you can't eat, Wheaties for breakfast anymore because I'm not even entirely certain what I'm eating. What am I celebrating here? Do we have to move all of his Olympic gold medals over to the women's category? I don't know how, because I don't understand the rules. And the problem is when people make these rules, they always come back to bite them. And so I look at this and I say, be careful, you know, when you start doing things like this that say, oh, look how progressive we are. We're going to force people to use the correct pronouns. Like, okay, but it may veer off into a direction you're not happy with. And then some of your own people are going to get entangled in it. You know, I always laugh at Hollywood where you see these big rich millionaires saying, you know, you guys and your corporate welfare and these big corporations getting tax breaks. I say, you know, the movie business gets a ton of tax breaks. Every state you go to tries to set up some program where they give Californians a tax break for coming out to their state to shoot their movie. And so I have a lot of friends that survive and profit from tax breaks, but they don't look at it that way because they say, well, it's us.
Mm-hmm.
We're good people.
Yeah. Patrick, I have a question for you about just the way we seem to treat the new administration or any administration. It seems that every election creates this idea that there has been it's an illegitimate one. So now we have an illegitimate administration, and all we're trying to do is immobilize the person in charge and their administration, which creates more and more dysfunction in government. And I think people are really tired of that.
Well, I think they are, and I have to, disrespectfully agree, you might say.
Okay.
Yes, that only happens, of course, with a Republican administration. You know, George Bush with Bush versus Gore, 2000, then 2004, you know, John Kerry meandering around saying, well, if I'd only won, 50,000 people would have switched their votes, I'd be president. Well, you didn't. But they said, well, it was so close, and technically he sort of did the popular vote. So, you know, illegitimate in 2000, illegitimate in 2004. Barack Obama, it's like, hey, move on. You know, you could ostensibly say, and I'm not even entirely certain what ostensibly means, but I've heard people use it.
I love it, though. Yeah, I'm going to use it, too, today.
Yeah, well, you used kerfuffle earlier.
I did. I got that word from Rebecca.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, she uses it all the time. I had to look up what it meant.
I actually love kerfuffle. Yeah. I used to, as a magician, wear a shirt with kerfuffles on it.
Yeah, you got very little work, too.
Yeah. You look at very little work. But, you know, they're trying to say Trump is illegitimate because Hillary won the popular vote. But, you know, electoral college-wise, you could almost put him in the landslide category. And it is. It's just to try and stymie the administration. And maybe we shouldn't be surprised by this stuff. This is the game that we play. Democrat presidents are always, oh, Barack Obama's the smartest person ever. Oh, Bill Clinton, he was the smartest president we ever had. Hillary Clinton's the smartest woman in the world, other than using the server and all the other mistakes that she made in Benghazi, blah, 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 blah. But this is the script. This is how it's always going to be told to us that, you know, Trump is a dunce. And you go, well, a guy that has his level of success is not a dunce. A guy that made it to the heights that, you know, George Bush made. You're not a dunce. You're not a dunce. But they can portray you as that. And maybe Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton aren't as smart as people say. They're not dunces because they got to where they got. But I'm tired of the game. I think you're right. People are tired of the game. And now it just rolls off. You go, go whatever. Put out your theory that it's illegitimate. You know, he's the president. That's how it is.
Yeah. And as we just wrap things up, Patrick, some Chinese guy woke up with kind of a headache, and he went to the hospital, and doctors found a live gecko had crawled inside his ear canal. The reptile was removed, still alive with a pair of pliers, and I guess he was also offered 15% off on car insurance.
Well, that makes it worth it.
Thanks
like
for
a Star Trek episode.
Yeah. And then, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about Antifa, Peace Through Violence. We didn't get to that. So,
no, but I am, you know, and we got a lot going. The eclipse is happening today. I ordered my eclipse glasses yesterday. They wanted extra for overnight shipping. I go, I'm not stupid. You send them standard 1 week.
Yeah. So you'll have them in a week and yeah, you'll be good to go.
Yeah, but I save 15%.
Awesome. Have a great day, Patrick. I'll talk to you next week. All right, 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and be back with more of the show.
Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me.
It is half past the hour. Do you know on this day, in 1959, Hawaii became the 50th state of the Union, and that wraps up all 50 states. We'll take a little bit of a break for news, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Be back in a minute. Amazing things can happen when we step out in total trust and reliance on God. Here's author and speaker Patsy Claremont.
When we face the thing we fear, when we're willing to put ourselves in a vulnerable place and not feel in control, we can step onto new territory that we didn't even know we were capable of. Things that are really important to our development, like emotional stability and mental health that is in a better place than maybe it is at the moment.
If you want to hear that full interview, you can do so by going to myfaithradio.com and type in Patsy Claremont, or you can type in Walk Faith Fear. It'll probably get you to that interview and hear it in its entirety. I've got Ruth Kramer on the line. We'll talk to her in just a minute.
Racism is more than ugly. It's sin. So what do we do about racism? This is Jim Garlow. On Saturday, August 12th, in Charlottesville, Virginia, white nationalists and counter-protesters clashed in an eruption of violence. Heather Heyer was killed and many others injured when a speeding car slammed purposely into the crowd. We pray for nothing short of a spiritual awakening to fall on the minds and hearts who came into Charlottesville to destroy an otherwise beautiful community. August 13th, the day following the Charlottesville tragedy, marked the 290th anniversary of a revival that hit the small community of Herrnhut, Germany in the year 1727. It was an explosion of love for each other that became the mark of that revival. My prayer? That we may see a Herrnhut-type revival break out, with Christian love consuming the hearts of the racists who invaded Charlottesville. This is Jim Garlow.
To boldly go where no one has gone before.
Good morning. You know that theme song belongs to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How was your weekend?
It was really busy. I was on a business trip last week meeting with some new partners and talking with the Alliance of for the Unreached, and some good things came out of the meetings.
Was it in this country, or did you leave the country?
No, it was in this country. It was in Arizona.
Oh, nice.
And in Denver, Colorado. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff done. I got to visit my brother in the process, and that's probably why I'm feeling a little bit of the sleep deprivation, because my brother and I stayed up way too late talking about stuff.
Fun, fun. So how, and your hip, is it feeling okay since the big competitive run?
No, not really.
Okay.
But yeah, my brother took me to the weight room just to show it to me, and it turned into a competitive workout.
There you go. So things are worse once again. I love your competitive nature.
It wasn't really an intentional thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure it starts that way anyway. All right, let's talk about some of the terror attacks that have gone on in Barcelona and Finland over the weekend. It's getting course, any terrorist attack is horrifying, but when they start pulling out knives and just stabbing people in the neck, that's so disturbing.
Well, you know, this is kind of one of those things that is just revealing the nature of where people's hearts are at this point. The Islamic State obviously has tried to claim a couple of these attacks, and it's not been just limited to Finland or to Spain. It's actually Russia wound up foiling an attempt at a suicide bombing over the weekend as well. So ISIS is claiming a lot of credit for what's going on. I still believe that the authorities in Spain are trying to really pin it down to the group that is behind it and actually affix blame. They are looking at extremists. There have been some arrests made. I believe 4 people have been arrested in that attack. But they're still really looking for some answers as to how this thing got started. Whether or not it was actually a sleeper cell. I know that there was some information regarding an earlier explosion that took out some other implements that were designed for this attack in Spain. So it could have been far worse, but they were a little bit short-circuited because of an earlier explosion that actually injured a number of people who were investigating. So that situation has people pretty unsettled, and there are ministries that are still in the area. We're still trying to connect with them mm-hmm. to talk to them about, you know, how the general spiritual climate is and what the teams are able to do kind of in response. Because groups like Operation Mobilization in Europe, focusing on church partnerships and really kind of coming alongside the body of Christ to help them to do you know, kind of with the grace to respond in a situation like this, in a walking alongside a community as they go through difficulty and really introducing the hope of Christ in a situation that can be very difficult. And in an area like Spain or like Finland, there is kind of a postmodern church kind of a feel. So people feel like they already know what has to be said. They reject a lot of the things that they connect with old-fashioned religion, but they are very open to hearing about the hope of Christ. It comes in a different vehicle to them and not the traditional approach to what they perceive as old-fashioned church. And it's an interesting approach from Operation Mobilization and several of the ministries that are in Europe. But it's been effective. And I really, what it is followers of Christ who are walking alongside them in mm-hmm. difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, let's talk about what happened in Burkina Faso. Just a nice little cafe, a nice little birthday party going on. There was a large group there gathered to celebrate. And then chaos broke out, and gunmen showed up and killed 30 people.
Yeah, last week this was a situation that was extremely difficult. Open Doors was letting us know a little bit more about this specific tragedy. This was actually targeted, an area that was targeted, because it was full of foreigners. And so really what we're looking at is a terror group that's trying to make its statement against anything they perceive as not us. And there's some indication that the Islamic State is trying to take credit for it yet again. However, this is one of those situations where it's not uncommon, and what we're looking at is more than likely people at the wrong place at the wrong time. This is a really difficult area for tourists, and because the Christianity is connected to the West, people that are in the Islamic ideology of extremism
mm-hmm.
Kind of just kind of lump all of the things that are not them into that side of we're going to consider you as an infidel. So anything Western is connected to Christianity, and because these are foreigners, they are considered Western, therefore mm-hmm. anything like that is going to be like malls and cafes, restaurants, anything that would attract tourists are going to be high priority targets for groups like this. Again, Open Doors has been partnering with ministries on the ground, has been walking alongside a very small but vibrant church there. And when you really look at the situation, it's possible that because of the ideology that is there, we're going to see more attacks like this.
Mm-hmm. When you look at Burkina Faso, though, you see that there it is a country that has a fair amount of religious tolerance, doesn't it?
Generally speaking, that's why it was such a surprise. You know, you could look at the neighboring countries and say, okay, this would not be a surprise to see this kind of thing happen.
Like Mali?
Like Mali. Mali is very high up on the Open Doors World Watch list. Mm-hmm. It's like in the mid-30s in terms of the top 50 countries known for the persecution of Christians. There's also Islamic extremism in Mali. And so that kind of thing is pretty easy to leak into areas that are nearby. And nearby could mean five countries over. Mm-hmm. It could mean the top third of the region. So it's not unlikely that you have this kind of ideology leaking into things. And especially when you're talking about the types of groups that are there. In Burkina Faso, there have been touch points with the Al-Qaeda. So Al-Qaeda is already known to be a factor. Islamic State is trying to be in places where Al-Qaeda is. There are a lot of shared ideologies between the two groups, and they're just kind of vying for who's going to be the top dog. So a lot of times when you have that kind of thing, and it starts happening in a country where they start fighting over territory, it's not good for the people who live there.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, we don't have to leave the U.S. to see election unrest, but I want to take a break and come back. I want to talk about what's going on in Kenya with election unrest. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for being with us today. It's 12 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here. I'm speaking to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. And Ruth, I want to talk about the fallout from the presidential election in Kenya. Raila Odinga's refusal to concede the defeat is causing all kinds of violence. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring up the story was to give me a chance to say the word Raila Odinga.
And can you say the name of the president?
I think I can try it. Uhuru Kenyatta.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
And yeah, this is an election where Kenya was preparing for a violent protest, regardless of the outcome, because tensions are running very high going into it. Some of that can be blamed on tribal tensions because, you know, different tribes were represented by these leaders going into the elections. Obviously, when Odinga lost by 1.5 million votes, it seemed like it was pretty clear cut. But now he's accusing fraud, and he's already decided that he's going to go seek a court solution. So he's challenging the results in the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult because, meanwhile, you've got, some significant violence that has been a response. You know, the thing is, we can't look at Kenya and say they're always having this kind of response in the elections. They don't always have it, but they have had some really bad things happen in response to election, outcomes, within the last, say decade or so. 2007, I think, was the last time we saw major rioting happening in the slum areas, and people lost their lives. In this case, we've seen some violence. It has been very difficult. People are pretty edgy right now because they're really not sure if it's just going to blow up again like it did in 2007, or if now we're seeing kind of maybe a more settled approach after the initial response. You know, at this point, it was something you expect right after the elections. The petition to challenge the election result has already been filed. It's like 25,000 pages in that affidavit. So there he's really outlining every jot and tittle of his complaint about how it was an unfair election. Mm-hmm. So it's not over yet.
Well, how has the Christian community been affected there as a result of this?
we have a number of partners that are working down there. We have Food for the Hungry. We have Transworld Radio. Obviously, Open Doors is down there using Kenya as a base of operations for some other areas where they reach out. And in all of these situations where we've talked to partners and asked them how this is affecting staff, you know, it doesn't directly affect staff. But what they say is they're kind of they're wary. They're keeping their heads low, and they're just kind of watching the situation as they continue to try to do their work. And with groups like Transworld Radio, they use their platform of radio to allow some conversation to happen and inject really what truth is about. Like when you're looking at biblical truth in a situation where you have such a strong response to things, they're really asking a lot of questions biblically. Local churches are preaching from Joshua 5, when, you know, Joshua took over Jericho, and you have a situation where they're confronted by an angel, and Joshua asks, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And the angel says, "I'm not for you or your enemy, but as the commander of the Lord's army, I have now come." And this is challenging the local body of Christ in Kenya to figure out where they stand. Are you for Christ? Are you for, you know, your local politics? Mm-hmm. How are you going to be part of the solution as opposed to being part of the problem? And you know, it's a situation where the church is being encouraged not only by the local church, but also by the programming Transworld Radio is putting out there to remind people about this. Although, you know, because they live in the situation, they have to respond to security situations. The offices in Kenya were closed for a couple of days during the height of those riots.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, let's talk about David Curry. I had him on the show. Very interesting guy. He's from Open Doors USA, and he was a guest speaker at a breakfast held by Temple Emmanuel, which is a Jewish temple in Grand Rapids. I think that's your hometown, isn't it? Where you live?
Yeah, it is.
Did you get a chance to go there and see that by any chance?
I didn't because I was traveling, so I had one of our team go out there and cover it. And it's an interesting situation. Temple Emmanuel is a temple in Grand Rapids that has a lot of community interaction. So they do a lot of things where they bring in speakers, and not always from the same faith, you know, as Judaism. And they challenge their body to respond to the things around them. Very much, you know, in context of the issues that are surrounding them. So they've had speakers coming in talking about racism, especially in light of what's been happening in Charlottesville. They've had Christians come in and talk about the persecution issues, which is why David Curry was invited to speak at Temple Emmanuel, because they were really just trying to say, hey, you know, we are a people group that has been through the persecution issues, you know, obviously with the history of the Holocaust. They're talking about what it's like to go through that kind of difficulty and then come out of it, and the bond that Jews and Christians share because they have been on the end of being persecuted before. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's something where David Curry is reminding the religious community of Grand Rapids and beyond that it's not, religious persecution isn't something that can be ignored just because your group isn't the one that's being targeted. But it's something to be confronted. And when we stand together, things can happen, things can change. Obviously, as followers of Christ, we have a direct appeal to the Creator God, you know, before the throne of grace. And so we're always being encouraged by groups like Open Doors to remember to pray for what's happening around here and find ways to be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm. And just to wrap things up, Ruth, kind of on a good news note, Global Catalytic Ministries is reaching out and doing a tremendous job of reaching Muslims for Christ in Persia.
Yeah, this is really exciting. This is one of our newer partners. And so we're kind of introducing them to the general audience.
Mm-hmm.
Global Catalytic Ministries is really looking at how to make that gospel movement flourish in an area that has been really opposed to the gospel. Now, I will say this, in the past, that's past history, because Iran is one of the fastest growing churches that's being reported right now. The amount of persecution that believers have experienced has them pretty high up, you know, as far as documentation goes, on the World Watch List. And yet we're hearing stories that the Persian people are embracing the word of the Lord. They're embracing the gospel and because they find hope in it. And so what we're seeing there is a group of people who are turning to Christ, and then Global Catalytic Ministries comes in and basically resources them to not only disciple their own churches, but also to have that passion of the Great Commission. And so they're taking the gospel beyond. And so now what you're seeing is it's leaving Iran, and you're seeing a lot of areas that have the Persian influence in and around Iran having influence with the by the gospel there. We're talking like Afghanistan and those areas too.
So we have to just encourage everyone to keep praying, don't we?
Yeah, because prayer is the first frontline defense. It is the way the Holy Spirit works. And when you invest in this kind of thing, your heart goes out to that. And then you start paying attention to that. You start talking about it. And then you start really praying earnestly with, an informed understanding of what's happening.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Ruth, for being on the show. I look forward to our next conversation in a couple of weeks.
Me too. I'll throw some interesting challenges at you next week.
All right, Ruth. Thanks so much. It is 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break. Be back in just a minute. Good morning. That wraps up hour one of the Early Morning Late Show. In Psalm chapter 42, verse 8, it says, "By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Take a short break, and then we've got hour two coming up. Dr. Linda Mintel is going to lead off at 8 minutes after the hour, and we're going to talk about reacting versus responding, how to do that well. That's going to be interesting. And then Dr. Richard Land, be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend, and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.